We are here. We made it. We're running a little bit late. Just finished up an hour filling in for John Statman on the National Intel Report. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and or welcome back. Tonight, to another hour of The Flip Side, your host this evening, Jeffrey Bennett. It is a Tuesday night, the 6th day of March, 2007. We've got a heck of a conversation or a series thereabouts going on in the chat room. More people have joined us at the top of the hour. If you are near your computer, on your computer, please do the same at www.federalobserver.com. Actually, a lot of what was in the chat room the last hour, we were able to share on the air, some good comments, some questions. And I like to do that. It's just another way that we can work with the audience. As many of you know, I very rarely take calls. It's not that I'm afraid to or don't want to. I don't have a problem with it. But when I'm doing this show, an hour is not a lot of time. And by the time you take music out, breaks, and all that kind of stuff, and the kind of babbling I'm doing right now, you wind up with about 42, 43 minutes of actual airtime, which is not a lot of time to get said what has to be said. So let's start the top of the hour here real quickly with some market updates. Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 157 points today to end the day at 12,207, the biggest one-day gain in 2007. NASDAQ was up almost 45 points to end at 2385. S&P 500 up 21-plus points to end the day, 5 points shy of 1,400. Over on the metal side, platinum was up $22, end of the day at $1,196. I've got a good client and friend out there who's now going to wish he hadn't bought his platinum 3 weeks ago and for his IRA. Silver was up 28 cents today. We've got a nice rebound beginning now. We closed the day at $1,291. Gold in the aftermarket is $647.20, up almost $14 on the day. So not bad. As we all know, Scooter Libby has been found guilty of 4 out of his 5 charges. And, of course, I'm sure he gets to go home and have a nice dinner. And I don't know when the sentencing is, but I guess he's going to wind up going to jail at some point in time. The question seems to be, all over the Internet and even on the mainstream news, was Scooter Libby the fall guy for Dick Cheney? Oh, come on. Who's stupid enough to ask a question like that? We all know the answer. Scooter Libby couldn't shoot as well as Dick Cheney. Come on, people. It's absolutely ridiculous. During the course of this hour, one of our topics, and I think the main one for the hour, is going to deal with something we call illegal immigration. But it's also going to tie in an interesting analogy with banking. We're going to talk a little bit about the McCain and Kennedy comprehensive immigration bill, something none of us want or need. So I hope you'll stay with us for the hour. I'll be back with you on the flip side of this commercial break. Stay with us, won't you?
Got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The artificially sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
1, 2, 3, 4. Pretty mama, where you been so long? Pretty mama, where you been so long? You been hiding out, I know that's true. Pretty mama.
Hey, we're back. That's actually kind of an interesting piece of music to listen to. It's a little mellow, but that's actually the kind of stuff we want to go into a commercial with. When we come out, we want something a little bit more upbeat, let folks know we're back. That kind of stuff put folks to sleep. Holy guacamole. Welcome back to the flip side for this Tuesday evening. For the rest of this week, here's what's cooking. I'll be back Thursday. Robbie will be with you Wednesday and Friday. Also, tomorrow evening at midnight, Central Time, I will be a guest on Frankly Speaking with Frank Whalen for a couple of hours. So right here on Republic Broadcasting Network. So do come and join Frank and I tomorrow night. Of course, join Frank every night. Frank's always got worthwhile guests and things to talk about. So right along with Rick Adams and some of the other good folks here on RBN. So hope you'll do that. It's interesting. We're talking about the illegal invasion. We haven't even gotten to the discussion yet. But the discussion that's come up in the chat room is an interesting one. I've got a lot of friends and listeners who have been over-the-road truckers in this country for a lot of years. My buddy Bill, who's currently living in Tennessee, don't even know if he's out there listening. I've kind of lost track of him. Phil, I lost track of some years ago. My buddy down in Florida. Guy out of Texas. It got to be a joke up here at the truck stop because I'd call him up and let the front desk know, hey, I'm coming in. They'd make sure that my table was cleared, and truckers and I'd sit down there for a couple hours and shoot the breeze and discuss the problems of the world and how to solve them and all the usual good stuff, catch up on family stuff. Well, one of the biggest problems truckers are facing this country today is that and everybody's blaming it on Bush. They seem to forget that Hare Clinton's the one that kind of started it, and Bush kind of stretched it a little bit. But this whole business about the 100-plus-odd Mexican trucking firms that are now allowed to traverse all over this country. And you know, ultimately, what's going to happen when the trucking industry gets invaded by the undesirable, shall we call them, you know, those who are... I was watching Glenn Beck the other night. According to Glenn Beck, the great environmentalist that I'm sure he is, He claims that all the additional Mexican trucks that are going to be traversing this country that do not have the same safety requirements that our truckers have in this country, they don't have the same ecological requirements as far as emissions, etc., that our truckers do. But according to Glenn Beck, these guys are going to add something like 50 tons of pollution to our air every single day. Now, isn't that simply amazing? Where's Al Gore screaming about all of his buddies from south of the border, huh? So the guys are in the chat room talking about this, that our truck drivers could, in fact, bring the highways to an absolute crawl if they begin to see Mexicans doing to the trucking industry what they've done to other blue-collar jobs in this country. No Bueno says, America first. They can shut down the country in a heartbeat. In other words, our truckers could shut this country down in a heartbeat, and then, and only then, would America listen. I remember in 1970, I got out of Vietnam, got out of the U.S. Army one day later, and came home, and within a week had a job working for a concrete form company out of Chicago, a very old firm. My first job, I was hired to be a draftsman and do some architectural work because I did have some background in it, even at the age of 21 or 22, however old I was. But in order to get a better understanding of what it was I was drawing or working with, I first decided to manage the trucking yard, the shipping, the receiving, the pickups, the drops, etc., etc. Well, in 1970, for those of you who don't remember, there was a huge truck strike in this country. Major league. Well, the government decided to change the rules after that to make sure that the trucking industry could never slow this country up again to that kind of a standstill. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If the American trucker, I don't care who he works for, whether he's an independent or if he's driving a rig, an owner-operator for Swift or anybody else, I'd like to see this country shut down for 3 days. Nothing moves. Because that is the only way people in this country will wake up. Yeah, Beerman, I've been to that guy's website. Thekidfrombrooklyn.com. I'll tell you what, laugh yourself to death is about it. For those of you on the internet, it's a great website to go to. TheKid, K-I-D, from Brooklyn.com. It is funny stuff. He wakes up every morning. A lot of times he does his, it's the televised thing out of his house through his computer. There's times he does it in his bathrobe. There isn't a subject that he won't touch. And I have more fun watching this guy touch the subject of the illegal immigration. He's amazing. Andrew C. McCarthy, no relation to Joseph, I don't believe. You know, Joe McCarthy. Writing in a column today entitled, Close the Immigration Vault with Employer Enforcement. Imagine, my friends, we had only a single government-chartered financial institution. We'll call it the First National Bank. Imagine it had begun a new policy. Henceforth, the vault would remain open and stocked to the brim with no guard on site. It remained illegal, of course, for anyone without deposits in the institution to remove funds. Indeed, account holders were expected to comply with long-standing rules, standing in line to transact with tellers, paying fees to transact at ATMs, filing burdensome currency transaction reports, being penalized for bouncing checks or overdrawing their accounts. New customers, moreover, were turned away unless they verified their identities to the satisfaction of the institution, and they would be met with threshold deposit requirements. But the vault remained open and stocked. The doors of the bank remained open to anyone with the gumption to walk right in and grab with both hands. Sounds kind of neat, doesn't it? But you see, naturally, anyone turned out to be an awful lot of people. First National, though, was a monopoly with the ability to print treasury notes as needed. Its vault remained open. But to discourage the human waves, the bank finally posted a sentinel or two. But the tide was overwhelming, and even arresting the occasional thief proved pointless because the prize was too enticing. The chance of suffering any real penalty was too unlikely. Theft was rampant, currency dramatically devalued as new money was minted, leading to a spiral of unintended consequences. Old customers, of course, fumed. New depositors dried up. For what was the point of adhering to the rules? The bank, meanwhile, half-heartedly blocked sections of its perimeter with chain-link fencing and virtual impediments, like cameras. And the bank even added a couple of guards. But these disincentives proved trifling because the vault remained open. And the hordes kept coming. No, that's H-O-R-D-E-S. Although, never mind. To appease growing outrage among depositors in a surrounding neighborhood teeming with intruders, First National finally chose to add requirements to encourage presentation of a bank book or maybe some other form of identification. The bank systems, however, were not up to checking identities. Quickly, word spread that the new verification mandates were a joke. At the vault, the green light stayed on. The thieves kept coming. Now bolstered by cottage industries in identification fraud and human traffic direction. And so a comprehensive solution was devised. At long last, the United States Congress stirred itself to action. And its proposal, yes, a comprehensive solution. There were, Congress says, far, far too many culprits to prosecute. No hope of getting the ill-gotten gains back. So for one time, and the statesman insisted, one time only, they were going to forgive the malfeasance. And on top of that, to extinguish the unseemliness of uncontrolled lawlessness, they undertook to wipe the slate clean. Henceforth, all the thieves would become established depositors, possessed of shiny, new, legitimate bank books. But under existing law, that meant all their family members could eventually earn bank books, too. Amnesty? How the law-abiding beleaguered citizens? That's your solution? Well, you could call it that, the world legislator sighed, but better to think of it as the carrot that paves the way for some real sticks. That, they told us, was why it was called comprehensive reform. That's why it was so very prudent. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what happened. What were the penalties for stealing at that point in time? Stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes on the flip side of this commercial break.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Got a pretty good load in the chat room tonight, and the guys are telling me that we're having some audio difficulties, not on the shortwave. Appears to be on the net. Now, I've not heard anything from the engineer. one of the guys in the room wants to know if RBN's audio engineer is an illegal. I don't think so. the guys are asking, saying, I'm coming through with a lot of static. How are we coming through at the studio end? All right. That sounds like it may be a Skype-related problem tonight, then. That's very interesting. All right. Well, we move forward. Apparently, the problem is at this end. It's at the Skype end. So what RBN receives is what they're unfortunately sending out. So we do apologize for that. We'll see if we can do some adjustments on that tomorrow. And I've got to get to work on getting my other computer back up and functioning. Before the break, and we're only going to have a few minutes here, we'll have to carry it over to the second half hour. Talking about amnesty for the new depositors that were coming into the First National Bank, taking as much money as they could possibly take, taking the benefits. Penalties for stealing money became increased under this new comprehensive plan. You see, amnesty had left no one to penalize. And more crucially, the lawmakers promised that the magnet for all of this would end pronto. The bank was told to close the vault and open it only for legitimate customers. Why, moaned the citizenry, do you have to have carrots for those sticks? And why, oh why, did it take you so long to figure out something so simple? Just close the vault. Surely that law could be enforced without goodies for the lawbreakers. And if the bank just had closed the vault, none of the other problems would ever have happened. Well, you're not getting this, tut-tutted Congress. The lawbreakers have lots of friends here on the Hill, and the laws you say are so obvious are actually not on the books right now. You want the vault closed? Fine. But then we'll need to eat the amnesty. All right, the citizens mumbled, we'll swallow the amnesty this one time, but just make sure that that vault gets closed and stays closed. Absolutely, assured Congress.
The vault, as we well know, my friends, was never closed. Oh, there were feints of enforcement, nabbing the occasional handful of thieves, but it was a drop in the ocean. The resources devoted were sparse, and the same agency was saddled with the additional responsibility of issuing all the new bank books. It was instantly overwhelmed, and as any sentient person could have told you, as long as the vault stayed open, the rush would be on. Except that now the rush was worse. The amnesty told the world that thievery was not only tolerated, it was actively rewarded. The mob, already immense before comprehensive reform, grew geometrically to more than four times its original size. First National Bank? Well, it is, as I'm sure most of you have realized by now, merely a parable. But you see, it conveys the real history of Congress's last great comprehensive overhaul. Oh, yes, my friends, that was the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, popularly called the Simpson-Mazzoli Law, after its Republican and Democrat sponsors, respectively, Senator Alan Simpson and Representative Romano Mazzoli. The better to stress its bipartisan and its thus inarguably reasonable nature. True to the breed, it stands as another in a long line of disasters inevitable when cold-eyed common sense is subordinated to cheery consensus. Immigration reform and control certainly reformed the post-World War II immigration laws. Alas, it controlled nothing. And why? Because while politicians love prescribing carrots and sticks, their stomach for implementation is generally limited to carrots. And they've stuffed most of them up our... Never mind. You see, that is the two-decade legacy of comprehensive immigration reform. Duff, the answer to your question is yes. The open vault we spoke of was the combination of wages and welfare, my friends. It was already unlawful in 1986 for illegal aliens to work and claim public benefits, but if the police cannot or won't enforce those laws, and employers and governments keep hiring and paying and providing, the aliens are sure to keep coming in droves. And that is what happened. The Simpson-Mazzoli arrangement was a cynical, gutless game on condition of rewarding the then-existing illegal alien population of, get this, only 3+ million with green cards and, yes, a path to citizenship. As a condition of rewarding and thus encouraging more bad behavior, the law promised to close the vault, to close the door, to close the gate, to stop the illegals from continuing their flow into America. But the palpable incentives for illegal entry would, we were assured, be removed by the enactment of those sanctions against employers who knowingly hired ineligible employees. Well, we'll pick this story up when we come back. And let's see if we can bring it to a fruitful conclusion. Can we? See you in a few minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Speaking tonight about the vault. The vault of the so-called First National Bank, an analogy, of course, to the illegal invasion of America. Notice there's no reference in here to what country illegal invaders come from. I want to make that perfectly clear. Or as Milhouse would have said, let me make this perfectly clear. I am not a crook. No, never mind. That's another story. The palpable incentives after 1986 for illegal entry, we were assured, be removed by the enactment of those original sanctions, or the sanctions that were then placed against employers who knowingly hired ineligible employees. Of course, the key word here becomes knowingly, and that's the word that they're able to time and time and time again get away with, claiming that they didn't know. States and municipalities, such like employers, would have then also been required to verify documents proving employees and applicants were lawfully seeking benefits. Come on, you might be a member of the average white band out there, and you may go in looking for a job as a janitor in a school district, and if you don't come up with your birth certificate, you're not eligible for hire. But these people come up with more forged, crooked instruments of identification, and they get hired. All of you know the rest of the story. The amnesty was granted in 1986, but the vault was never closed. In 1992, the last year of Daddy Bush's administration, with illegal immigration having crept up by millions since the Simpson-Mazzoli amnesty, there were enforcement actions against only 1,461 companies nationwide. There were only 8,027 worksite arrests. Believe it or not, there are some pretty intense statistics that have been compiled by financial analyst Edward Rubenstein. Always good with numbers, the money changers are. If you were an illegal worker, that represented about a 0.1% chance of being prosecuted, a pittance to be sure. But it turns out to be a spectacular government enforcement performance when compared with succeeding years. By 1999, with an illegal alien population pressing at least 10 million,
Clinton administration enforcement actions had plummeted to 417 companies, and worksite arrests, which had once doubled the Bush 41 level, had dropped to 2,849. Percentage-wise, this barely registers, and yet it is positively muscular compared to most of the junior Bush years. To be blunt, my friends, the current administration's employer enforcement record is, for the most part, an embarrassment, notwithstanding the jihadist threat and the fact that several known terrorists, including some of the so-called 911 hijackers, were in fact illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. Son of a gun. From 2002 through 2004, worksite arrests catered from a paltry high of 485, compared to, by the way, 17,500 in 1997. And by 2004, only 159 worksite arrests took place. That's 159 aliens out of an illegal immigrant population so large it cannot precisely be fixed between expert estimates of between 12 and 20 million. Meaning that if you in fact were an illegal alien, if you were a lawbreaker, an invader into this country, you'd have about as good a chance of winning that $370 million lottery tonight as you would being arrested for working in violation of the immigration laws. And by 2004, the total number of companies in the United States of America had given notice that they would be fined for employing illegal aliens was exactly three. T-H-R-E-E. That ain't something I built a house in for my kids when they were little. That's the number. Oh, and by the way, if you know habla inglés, it's tres. Like in uno, dos, tres? I knew I'd get it in there somehow. You see, far from closing the vault, my friends, what they've in fact done, our government, the entire rotten, crooked, filthy, lying, cheating, stealing Bush administration has hung a sign out on this country that says, come and get it. Now, under these circumstances, it would be an act of national madness to enact another one of their so-called comprehensive immigration reforms with yet another one-time-only amnesty. You know, that's the type that Republic rat presidential hopeful John McCrook from Arizona, who's now partnering with the left-wing champion, that drunken sock from Massachusetts, Ready Teddy Kennedy. And they're all laying in bed with Junior Bush, trying to push it through. Oh, boy, that's a sickening thought. McCain, Kennedy, and Bush in bed together? Oof. But it's also entirely unnecessary. Not just the three of them being in bed together, but the entire amnesty nonsense. Proponents of the new immigration overhaul swaddle their claims in moral and practical rhetoric. After people have been here contributing to our national community for a number of years, they tell us it's unfair not to legitimize their status. Besides, they're only taking the jobs that Americans and other legal workers are unwilling to do. And in any event, you can't conceivably deport in excess of 12 million people. None of these assertions passes the laugh test, in my estimation. Yeah, you're right, Justicoop. Disgusting thought it is. Let me suggest to you that adults who enter or stay in the United States illegally know full well what the deal is. They have voted with their feet. They have decided that the benefits available here are worth running the risks of illegal status. That is a rationale. Voluntary choice. There's nothing unfair or immoral about forcing them to endure the outlaw status they took on with eyes wide open. As others trying to immigrate the legal way stood on the outside looking in. But you know what? There was no room in the inn. Because Jose and Rosita got there first. Now, secondly, If our economy really does support millions of jobs that Americans are unwilling to do, then a solution is to expand the number of legal immigration slots. Not to promote an undesirable underclass of lawbreakers. But you see, politicians on both sides of the aisle, they don't want to do that. Oh, no, it's unpopular with unions. Low-wage workers and Americans concerned that we are not successfully assimilating the large immigrant population already here. Employers, furthermore, don't like it because the combination of willing illegal workers and lax enforcement presents an opportunity to circumvent onerous bureaucratic minimum wage and tax requirements. The fact remains, my friends, that tilting the system toward lawful, transparent immigration and employment would be both moral and practical, while simultaneously, or as the Limeys say, simultaneously, keeping the U.S. a vibrant, immigrant-friendly nation. That means letting in the good guys and stopping the bad guys. Send the bad guys home. I'm sorry, they broke the law to get in here. Now pay the consequences. Hasta la bye-bye. Because you see, finally, the dudgeon about not being able to deport millions of people, that's the reddest of herrings. Immigrants are not idiots. They're highly rational actors. They come because the vault is open. If the vault were closed, most would not come, and many who are already here would go home. There'd be no need for mass deportation. Particularly if legal immigration mechanisms were improved. Employer enforcement and public welfare denial would induce the illegal immigrant population to ebb on its own. The slim resources available for forced deportation could then be concentrated on the low-hanging fruit. Non-citizen criminals who come to government's attention because they have committed state and federal felonies. There'd be no need to harass those whose only offense is unlawful presence. Instead of amnesty, which would, in any event, require incalculable resources to manage effectively, public funds, oh, there's those words. Now I know I don't agree with this guy very often. Public funds could be more usefully dedicated to voluntary deportation assistance so that immigrants could go home and apply for entry the right way. This is a simple, inescapable answer to reining in illegal immigration, my friends, is what I've always said. Employer enforcement and choking off public welfare beyond such rudimentary humane obligations as emergency health care and education for the alien children who are victims of their parents' choice to flout the law. Absent the will to enforce the laws, no comprehensive reforms are possible. With the will, no concert reforms are likely to be necessary. And so, in fact, we face a phony crisis. The only urgency in the immigration equation is enforcement. Rampant lawlessness, the weighty burdens on the welfare state, these are real problems. And to the contrary, the tribulations confronting millions of people who have willfully opted to break our laws and live illegally in our country are mostly of concern to them, not to us. There are many things Americans would like to see reform before immigration. Social Security, other exploding entitlements, and making the Bush tax cuts permanent come quickly to mind. And yet our political class does not regard these looming crises as emergencies that must be addressed forthwith. And so why the angst on immigration? Why the bogus claim that the lives of Americans will somehow be improved if the status of non-American lawbreakers is improved? Especially when everything in our experience says the exact opposite is true. To be clear, no one should say the status of illegal immigrants should be off the table. There is an unavoidable human aspect to all of this. The equities are such that compelling some illegal aliens to leave at this point would be unduly harsh. Aw. Some have been here for a decade or more. I know of one who's been here for over 35 years. And some of them have... some of them have strong community ties. No longer have any meaningful connection to their native lands. There's no good reason to target people of that type at this point, beyond the happenstance that, like everyone else working illegally, they would stand to lose their jobs if and when employer enforcement became serious and sustained, and it never will be. You know it and I know it. You see, the legal status of illegal aliens is not our emergency. In fact, unlike the failure of enforcement, it's not an emergency at all. It's a problem of the immigrant's own creation. It makes no sense to address a non-emergency at its high-water mark, especially if the solution is semi-amnesty, such as that proposed by McCrook and Ready Teddy and the administration, which is certain to promote even more illegality. But isn't that what this... isn't that what this administration has been all about? Illegality, immorality, all along. As relates to the immigration problem, real employer and public benefits enforcement would drastically reduce illegal immigration without mass arrests nor deportations, particularly if it was combined with repatriation subsidies. See, that's where I have a problem with this author. First of all, he writes for NPR. And much of what he talked about early on in this column is good, but it's one of these sucker columns that drags you in and then starts talking about subsidies and government funding. I think the government has subsidized this crap long enough. And the government subsidizing it out of my pocketbook and out of yours. And I've had enough of it. Send them packing. Oh, big deal. Homeland Security. Hey, that makes me a friend of Ann Coulter, doesn't it? Homeland Security has, in fact, been stepping up enforcement in the last 2 years. But it's not yet near where it ought to be. Plus, an interlude of improvement from rock-bottom performance hardly mitigates years upon years of abdication. At this stage, my friends, government deserves nothing other than to be considered on probation. Government deserves nothing other than to be placed on probation. Unprecedented illegal immigration levels exist today because the national government has shirked its responsibilities for over two decades. And they are going to need to establish a years-long record of keeping the vault shut before we could responsibly rely on its good faith as part of any interdependent carrots and sticks reform package. I'd like to know if we're going to be 5 years, 10 years from now before we take their word for anything, that any law will be enforced, because our government has proven, the federal government, the government of the United States of America, Inc., has proven that their word is no good. They broke their word to the Native Americans. They broke every treaty they ever signed with them. They broke every treaty that they ever signed with the veterans of the United States of America who served in the military. And I'm one of them. And they still broke their promises. Look at Walter Reed and tell me they're keeping promises. Kiss my assets. I got 20 or 30 bucks in the wallet. Kiss my assets. My friends, I have long believed that the illegal invasion of America is a major sticky point in this country, and it should be. I read an interesting letter today from the president of the I can't get to it fast enough. Danny Smith. What is it? Thunder Riders? American Freedom Riders. I want to tell you about it when we come back from the break, because it has a lot to do with what happened to our boys Remus and Compion and Ramos. I've got a letter in my hand that's been sent to Washington The autographs that are on it are appalling. The autographs that are not on it are even more appalling. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with me, won't you?
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
I feel the wind blowing through my door. It's telling me that the summer's gone. And the winter waits in shadow, waiting with the storm.
Danny Smith over at American Freedom Writers sent me a rather lengthy email today. It's on the letterhead of the Congress of the United States, Washington, D.C., 20515. Letter dated today. Addressed to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Chairman Benny Thompson, Chairman John Conyers, and Chairman Henry Waxman. Dealing specifically with the ongoing standoff regarding two distinguished U.S. Border Patrol agents, Ignacio Ramos and Jose Compion. Convicted, sentenced to federal prison for shooting a habitual Mexican drug smuggler who was in the country illegally during the course of their duty protecting America's southern border. Now, these are words directly from the letter. In the letter, it goes on to say numerous and repeated attempts by members of Congress to ascertain the facts of this case through inquiries with relevant federal agencies have been unsuccessful. Our requests for information have been delayed or denied, and certain federal investigators have even misled us about the case. The failure to obtain information on the investigation and prosecution of this case threatens Congress's ability and inherent responsibility to provide oversight of these federal agencies. We strongly request that you conduct immediate hearings into all aspects of the case. And it goes on and on. It's signed by Ted Poe, member of Congress, John Culverson, member of Congress, Duncan Hunter, Dana Rohrabacher, Sue Myrick, Ralph Hall, Stephen Pierce, Ed Royce, Michael Simpson, Chris Cannon, Tom Tancredo, Barbara Cuban, Dan Burton, Frank Wolf, Jeff Fortenberry, Walter Jones. Some of these representatives you will know: Tom Feeney, Lee Terry, Jim Gerlach, Jerry Weller, Bill Schuster, Gary Miller. These are all representatives and senators in Congress. Louis Gohmert, Christopher Shays, Bill Young, Sam Johnson, Joan Duncan, John Doolittle, Pete Sessions, Steve Chabot, Ginny Brown White, Waite, Dave Camp, Kevin Brady, Michael McCall, John Micah, Joan Sullivan. The names go on and on. Interestingly enough, there is not a signature there from a person who lives in Arizona, New Mexico, or Texas. Tell me they're not placating the votes of the illegal immigrants coming up from south of the border. Something's dreadfully wrong, I fear. I'm going to go out of my way to attempt to publish this entire piece up on the Federal Observer later tonight. We're just about out of time. I got 30, 40 seconds left somewhere in that area. Thanks to all of you. Chat room got pretty darn full tonight, up to 27, 28 pieces at one point in time. And a lot got said in 2 hours, some of it economic, some of it having to do with the illegal invasion. Thanks for the callers during the first hour. Don't forget, I'll see you on Frankly Speaking tomorrow night with Frank Whalen. I'll be back here Thursday night. I'll be out of here almost all week next week. Anyway, time to go. On behalf of RBN, Robbie Noel, and myself, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.